Ephesians chapter 6, our portion this afternoon is verses 21 and 22. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come one more time asking for your help to give us right hearts by which to hear your word read and opened. And we pray that you would be glorified in it, even as you do us good by it. Grant the ministry of your Spirit for these things, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 21 and going through verse 22. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. It's a marvelous thing what the Lord sometimes is pleased to do through ordinary obedience. You remember when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, should I keep this hidden from Abraham? Shouldn't I tell him since I have chosen him? And it's very interesting what he says at that point. He says in Genesis 18, verse 18, for I have known him, or I have chosen him, in order that. And it would have been, as we know from the rest of the Bible, quite accurate for him to say, in order that the Christ might come from him, or through him. In order that all the families on the earth would be blessed in him, or in his family. But he says, in order that he may command his children, and his household after him, that they keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, that Yahweh may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Very interesting. Basically, in order that Abraham may be the spiritual head of his household and lead them in family worship and make application from that family worship to their ordinary lives. And that was, providentially speaking, a means by which God would end up bringing Christ into the world. It was a means by which God would make Abraham's family the family in which the rest of the families of the earth would be blessed. Well, there was a man named Tychicus. And we don't know that much about Tychicus, but apparently the New Testament church knew a lot about him. To the Ephesians, the apostle calls him a beloved brother and a faithful, and the word really is servant, minister is fine, a beloved brother and a faithful servant. And how many believers, grace transformed people, could you have actually said that about? Many. I thank God in his mercy to us, I could say that about many of you. A beloved brother or sister, a faithful servant. Tychicus, being a beloved brother and faithful servant, got to carry the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians. If the letter that he mentions in Colossians to the Laodiceans that was to be read in Ephesus was a different letter and not this one with a different introduction on it, he carried that one as well. It is likely because he was sent to Philemon with Onesimus that he carried the letter to Philemon, and when he wrote to Timothy, he said that Tychicus would be coming soon. He might have carried 2 Timothy as well. That's a lot for a guy about whom we know pretty much nothing else. And yet, brotherly love and faithful, plodding, ordinary service is often much used by God. In fact, Paul's affection for the Ephesians is one of the ways that we got this amazing letter. And indeed, it has been an amazing letter. Paul loves the Ephesians. He knows they love him. He had ministered there for about 3 years. We can see the level of the affection that they have for one another in that very moving goodbye in Acts 20 when it concludes with them there on the beach crying very much. And they say, most of all, because of this word, that they would not see him again. That was the last time in this life that they would see one another. He loved them dearly, and he knew their love for him, and he didn't want them to feel what he had felt about Titus. In explaining to the Corinthians some of the logistics, how he chose where to go and when to go there, and he had to do that to the Corinthians because there are people in the church at Corinth who are saying, well, that Paul, he just doesn't like us. That's why he's not coming. Or he just can't back himself up. That's why he's not showing his face. And Paul's explaining to them why he went where he did, when he did. And one of the reasons why he had moved from one place to another is because his heart was concerned for Titus. And he went where he thought Titus was going to be. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he didn't find Titus there. And he was so distressed for him that even though he was having a prosperous ministry, he moved on to go find Titus. And so now Paul is writing from prison. He's told them about his chains. And we just had that mentioned again in verse 20. And now he refers to his chains again, and he referred to himself earlier in chapter 4, verse 1, as prisoner of the Lord. He remembers, oh, that's right. That's why I started writing this amazing letter to begin with. So that you may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs. He knows that the Christian love, the love of Jesus for one another that God has produced in the hearts of the Ephesians, is going to be concerned about him. This, of course, is something that that we want to see in our own hearts. And if we don't see it in our own hearts, we should be concerned, and we should ask the Lord to soften us towards one another and stir up our hearts towards one another, that we would be concerned to know how one another are doing. That, as many of you, for instance, this week we're paying attention to your signal apps because you were concerned about how some of your brothers are doing. That we would love one another. In fact, it's one of the first marks of Christ's true disciples, isn't it? That the love that Jesus has for his people, he produces in his people's heart for one another. John calls it both the new commandment, referring to the fact that this is really something new that comes out of this active union with Christ, the risen and ascended Lord. And then he also calls it the commandment we have had from the beginning, which sounds like the opposite thing, right? How can the new commandment be the commandment that we had from the beginning? But what he means when he says he describes it the other way is this has been the commandment that really has marked the church off. And we, of course, remember the scripture that says, they will know that you are my disciples by your love, one for one another. And so Paul loves them, and he knows that they love him, and he doesn't want them to be overly distressed by not knowing how things are going on in his imprisonment. And he says, I got to send Tychicus to them. He's a beloved brother and a faithful servant, and he'll tell them how I'm doing, and he'll do it in a way that encourages their hearts. And he pens, by the Holy Spirit, a letter to go with Tychicus so that they would not only, verse 22, know our affairs, but also so that he may comfort your hearts. So that Tychicus will say, have I got something to read you? And just imagine this letter from the one that you were worried about, how he's doing in prison, how are things going with our beloved pastor whom we heard got arrested and now he's in prison. What's going on with Paul? And Tychicus starts to read the letter and you get that massive blast of the glorious grace of God in his electing love and how God has designed for the praise of his glory everything that happens between electing love and glorified saints. And everybody in Ephesians says, Pastor Paul's doing just fine. And their hearts are encouraged too for everything they are going through as well. God used an apostle's pastoral love for his congregation and his knowledge that they would love him and be concerned to know how he is doing as the occasion upon which the Spirit gave to the church by the pen of Paul and by the feet of Tychicus the letter to the Ephesians that we've been studying. Now, no new books of the Bible, because that can't happen. No new books of the Bible are going to be written by your loving one another. But you may be surprised when God does something massively great through what you just thought was you being concerned for a sister, you being concerned for a brother, and wanting them to be encouraged in the Lord, and including not just here's how I'm doing and thank you for loving me and God's treating me well, but also included with it some theology about maybe election and predestination and God's purposes of glory and salvation and being justified only through faith and being justified unto good works. And you include some scripture in there about how marvelous it is that we're reconciled not only to God and one to another. You're not going to write new scripture, but you sure can repeat some old scripture. And the Lord may well use you to work in the heart of a saint. How many Christian biographies have you read? Well, maybe that's not a good question. There are many Christian biographies that you could read of one or another saint whose parents' ordinary, daily love for God and leading this family, or someone in the church's kindly concern for them and desire to encourage them and putting them in the way of truth. For instance, our family has recently been reading a child's biography of Luther, and there were several folks that God put in Luther's life, early in his life, by whom love for the gospel and love for the word were stirred up, and you know what that blossomed into later. We don't know, but we love to wonder, dear children, what God might do through your lives, through the encouragement of one or another of us whom you sat with at lunch and amused and impressed us. And you don't know what God is going to do through you in one another's lives. You don't know how God is going to respond to your praying, the way we heard last week about how we're to pray for all the saints. And you hear about someone in China, or you hear about a pastor who got put in prison in Canada or something like that, and you pray for them. And God, who listens to the little and to the big, the same, because he is listening to them for Jesus' sake. And there are no small prayers in Jesus' name. What will he do in response to your praying? Now, God has not called you to make his massive plan work. He's called you, like he's called Abraham, to daily, ordinary faithfulness. He's called you like he's called the Apostle Paul and Tychicus and the Ephesian believers to love one another as Christ has loved you. And he will get great glory by the massive things he does through that daily, ordinary, grace-sustained, Holy Spirit-given, union with Jesus-produced Christian love. Let's pray that he would do so through us as well in his application of this word to our lives. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us genuine love for one another, that our hearts would go out to one another, that we would care about how each other are doing. We pray that you would be pleased through ordinary, everyday working out of the mind and heart of Christ in us by your Spirit, be pleased to do the kind of thing that we would look back and be amazed that you did that through such ordinary loving of one another. We thank you for saints like Paul and Tychicus, whose name we know, and so many Ephesian saints whose names we don't know yet, though we will know them in glory. And we thank you that you have been pleased to include us among them, having set your love upon us in the beloved, the Lord Jesus, that we might be holy and blameless in love one day when you have conformed us to his image. And we ask that you would even use this portion of your word and this time that we have had hearing it read and opened in bringing us at last to that day when we have been glorified to the praise of the glory of your grace, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.